Welcome to 514 Church. Today we have a special person that's going to be talking to you. I want to welcome everybody that is on live watching on the internet and everybody that's here. Welcome to 514 Church. We're just so glad that you're with us this morning. Carmen Smith is going to be coming in talking to you about our church this week, and she is the children's director at 514 Church. That means that she oversees over 80 volunteers and over 120 kids at our church. She oversees more people, leads more people than any department at our church. So we need to give her a big fat round of applause for that. And she has also recently joined the adult small group ministry team. So she is bringing a lot of experience and a lot of help to that team as well. Carmen Smith is a great leader. She oversees all of our kids, like I mentioned. She oversees a lot of volunteers. A lot of you know her. A lot of you have your kids back in 514 kids. But what you're going to find out today is that she has a ton to say. A ton to say. Not about just what we're doing, but about why we're doing it. And so please open up your hearts, open up your minds. Let her lead you. Let her speak into your life this morning. So we can leave today and our church can be stronger. So I want her to get the greatest welcome in the history of 514 Church right now as I introduce Carmen Smith. Give her a hand.
Well, good morning. It is so, it's so much fun to be on this end of things today. I'm usually hanging out back with our kids, and so it's special today, and I'm excited to come and talk with our church about our kids. First things first, I'm a mom of two little sweet girls. As a mom and as a parent, I'm always trying to figure out what my kids need, right? Am I involving her enough? Am I involving her in the right stuff? Am I giving them what they need? Just recently, I had a friend text me and she said, hey, they have a little son, and they said, we're going to sign him up for gymnastics. And we were wondering if maybe you guys wanted to do that with Scarlett. She's about 2 years old. And I immediately thought, yes, this is what Scarlett needs. Oh, the interesting thing about our little Scarlett is she has this like duo personality that's made for some, shall we say, interesting parenting times. On one hand, she's this very sweet, timid, shy little girl. And then on the other hand, she is as stubborn and strong-willed as ever. I wonder who she gets that from. I think it's her father, right? But anyways, like I said, this is made for some interesting parenting situations, but I thought, you know what, this is going to be really good for her. Like, she needs this. She needs to learn, like, socialization skills, right? How to interact with other kids, and she needs to learn how to take direction from someone other than Brad and I. And I thought, you know what, she has all these, like, skills she needs to hone in on. I love that when you become a parent, you become completely biased to your own kid. And like, that's okay, it's natural, it just happens, but we'll be at a very neutral setting, say like a playground, and Scarlett does something that 10 kids just did before her, but I'll be like, did you see that? Like, she's got serious skill. She'll be like running around our house, and maybe she'll like tumble and do a somersault. I'm like, Brad, we have a future gymnast on our hands. So let's start her young. And so we sign up, we pay this ridiculous amount of money for 4 nights, and we go to gymnastics, we load up the whole car. I'm like, Brad, this is a family affair. Get in the car, take baby Lyndon, we are going to gymnastics. It was parent participation, which is code for parent, you are about to get a workout. And so I didn't know that. I mean, I guess I needed it or whatever. So we go, and you guys, if I could paint an absolute epic parenting fail moment, it was at gymnastics. I was that mom who had that kid that was throwing themselves on the ground, complete meltdown, complete hysterical, the only one not listening, the only one not following direction. It was awful. Finally, she goes over to the cheese pit, you know, all those foam pieces, and she starts chucking them all over. And I am scurrying all over trying to put the cheese back in the cheese pit. And then she sees this little disc. And you're supposed to go the disc, and you're supposed to jump on it, and then touch your toes. Nope, not Scarlett. She runs over to this disc, and she picks it up, and she whizzes it through the air like it's a frisbee. And we were done with gymnastics after that. We never went back. I remember walking out that night thinking, the only person who thought Scarlett needed gymnastics wasn't Scarlett, it was me. I think there's this tension that exists as parents of trying to give our kids what they need. I sometimes worry my kids aren't getting exactly what they need. Am I involving her enough? We live in a society that tells us that involvement in activities is what our kids need. And sometimes I feel like we're a little more concerned about what our kids are doing and less about who they are becoming. And so we take what little time we really have with them and we throw them into two sports and this activity and this club, and let's make sure they're well-rounded. So take them to an instrument class or something artistic, and we can very easily become so overwhelmed, so busy, and so wrapped up in giving our kids what we think that they need. And then there's the money. It's estimated that Americans spend $900 million a year on sport registration fees, sporting equipment, and travel expenses. Man, I sure hope with all this time and energy and resources that we are investing in this, that we are giving our kids what they need, right? I mean, what if we are actually giving our kids what they need the most? And then there's church. And we have all of these demands and all of these practices and all of these places to be, and church just kind of becomes one of the five things that our kids are involved in. It becomes another activity, another place to be at a certain time. And if we're being really honest, a lot of the time we make sure we get to the soccer tournament or the dance recital or the practice. And church very easily and very quickly becomes the negotiable. And so today, I want to shift this thinking. I want our church to think of our kids and what they need a little differently. Hear me out for a second. I am in no way saying that involving your kids in sports and extracurricular stuff is bad. It's absolutely beneficial for your kids. But I think that sometimes it's really easy to lose sight of what our kids actually need the most. We're spending all this time and money giving them what they need, but are we actually giving them what they need the most? And we believe so strongly that our kids need the church. We believe that what the local church has to offer our kids is unlike anything else. No activity, no sport, no class, no training. Nothing can give kids what the church can give them. Our church exists, our purpose, what we are here to do is this. Specifically today, it's to lead kids into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Parents, your kids need this more than anything. If your kid is the most amazing soccer player, or if they're the most amazing dancer, or if they have the highest GPA and they're valedictorian of the class, but if they don't get this, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then none of the other stuff matters. Because what's going to happen is that's all going to just fade away. And this has forever eternal implications stamped all over it. And so do we realize how much our kids actually need this? Is it reflected in how we spend our time and our energy with them? We believe that for your kids to truly get what they need the most, then your kids have to become our kids. We believe that we have to come together. And I'm not just talking to the parents. This series is about our church, right? Every person in this room can play a part in this. But the church and the family need to come and work together to do this, because when they are doing this, we so strongly believe that we will be giving kids what they need the most. And you know, I don't often sense this mentality. I don't think we often think of church and family working together. A couple mentalities I often see. The first one is the parent for me mentality. This is the mentality of the parent that comes in and they drop their kid off in our kids ministry or our student ministries, and then they kind of just expect us to do all the spiritual growth and development in their kids' lives. I'll have parents come up to me and they'll say, hey, what's my child learning about right now? Could you maybe make sure that you talk about this? Or for my middle schooler, you know, they seem like they're struggling with gossip right now. Could you hit on that? Or that whole, like, sex before marriage thing, like, isn't that your job to talk about that? The other mentality I often see is the playtime mentality. And this one actually really ticks me off. Because in this thinking, in this mentality, parents completely undermine what the church does and can do, which in this thinking amounts to a whole lot of nothing. These parents think that we just like hang out with your kids. We're just playing. We're just babysitting. We just exist as a one-hour daycare. And both of these are wrong. And both of these are not giving our kids what they need. Your kids are not becoming our kids. And so there's another mentality, and we believe that this is the way that we're going to give our kids what they need the most, that relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's this, it's a partnership. And this happens when the church and the family, these extremely powerful entities, come together and get on the same page to raise our kids. It's no longer you versus us. It's no longer me versus them. It's we, right? It's together. It's ours. And we believe that when the church and the family come together, when your kids become our kids, when we're both influencing, when we're both aiding in the spiritual growth of your child, then we're going to be the most effective we can be in a child's spiritual development. A partnership is the best way to give our kids what they need the most. And I'm talking about all kids, young kids and middle schoolers and high schoolers. They're all our kids. So here's what we know. We know that no one will influence a kid more than a parent. It's just the hard facts. But we also know that a parent isn't the only influence that a child needs. Kids need other voices saying the same things that their parents are saying. They need other people speaking truth and speaking wisdom and giving advice and sharing love and sharing grace. And they need all of that from you, parents, but they've got to be getting it from someone else. And no other entity offers the someone else part quite like our church does. To give kids what they need the most, we've got to come together. Here's the reality for our church. In a given year, we only have, on average, about 40 hours to spend influencing your kids. By the time you factor in, you know, the holidays and the soccer tournament and the sick days and the I don't really feel like getting out of bed days, we have about 40 hours. And to let you in on something, here at our church, our average attendance is a little bit less than this. And so if you look at this, you go, wow, that is not a lot of time. And so what this does for us as a church is it creates a major sense of urgency. It gives us an unbelievable sense of how intentional these hours have to be. our vision or our strategy for our kids' ministry and our students' ministry, it's the same as the adults. It's to create a dynamic worship experience for all ages and intentional connection through small groups. We do two things. And so starting at the age of two, we have a large group experience for every kid. We want to creatively and relevantly introduce them to who God is, his amazing love for him, his unbelievable character. Right now in our K through fifth grade environment, we're in a monthly series that's called Blank Page. Every month we hone in on one big idea, and this month's is creativity. And our team is back there, and they're teaching these kids that they were created to be creative. And that each of them have these unique gifts and talents that are God-given. And they're not creative simply because of that, but simply because they were created in the image of an amazing creator. And when they learn that they can use these gifts and these talents to do good, then they are going out in a very dark world and shining the light of Christ. That is good stuff. In our preschool age, we have three basic truths that by the time our kids are five, we hope that we have impressed and ingrained in their little hearts and minds. And it's these three things: that God made me, that God loves me, and that Jesus wants to be my forever friend. Spoken like a true preschooler. Imagine for a second, for some of us in the room, if by the time you were 5 years old, you without a doubt had known these three things: that God made you, that God loves you no matter what, and that he sent someone to die for you so that you could be his forever friend. Imagine how your life might have looked a little different. And then starting at the age of three, we give kids a small group. We're all about giving kids a place to belong and somebody who believes in them. We believe that kids can more clearly see God and understand who he is when they are getting a close-up look at someone else who follows God. We want to raise up a generation that has no clue what it's like to not live in biblical community. Research shows that the earlier a child can identify the who's in their lives, the people that believe in them, and the places that they belong, just as they are, no strings attached. The earlier a child can identify those two things, then the more solid and stronger their faith will be. I think sometimes there's this facade in our community that we have it all together. It exists in a lot of communities. We just have these white picket fences that help hide it. But if you unveil it a little bit, and if you dig a little deep, you see that we have broken people and broken families and broken kids right in front of us. And they need a place to belong so badly. And so these hours right here, they are absolutely crucial in the foundation of your child's faith. They're so unbelievably important. Check this out. Almost half of those who embrace Christ and begin a relationship with him do so before the age of 13. Whew. The stakes are so high. These years and this time is crucial. And we get it. Our responsibility to lead kids into a growing relationship with Christ, it is huge. And you better believe that we are so extremely intentional about every single one of those hours that we get, because we just don't get a lot. So that's why for small group leaders, We ask a one-year minimum commitment and that they serve every single week. That's why we purchase amazing curriculum. It's why we have 3 staff positions dedicated to our kids' ministry and 3 dedicated to our student ministry. We want this to be the absolute best hour of their week. And here's the deal, parents. To give your kids what they need the most, you have got to get them to these 40 hours. These have to be an absolutely non-negotiable in your calendars. They need this so badly. But this isn't all they need, right? This is 50%. This is a partnership. And so if we get 40 hours, over here is 3,000 hours. And this amount represents what parents have in a given year to influence the life of their child, about 3,000 hours. And so the reality is striking and it's very clear. Parents, you have way more time. You have way more influence than we could or ever will have. And so we have to partner together. Here's another reality that some of you may not know. The number one spiritual influence in a child's life is their parents. It's not me. It's not a friend or a coach or a teacher or even a small group leader. It's you. I once heard a pastor say that if you want to have influence, then just go have a kid. The amount and the weight of influence that we have as parents, it's so heavy. And so parents, what are you doing with these hours? Are you filling them up with just a bunch of stuff? Just a bunch of experiences, a bunch of places to be? Because here's the deal. If we as parents don't step up and do some pretty intentional stuff with these hours, if we don't partner together, then our kids' faith can become very, very compartmentalized. It can become really, really small. It can be reserved for one day, 1 hour a week, within these walls right here. It can be just this. And that's not enough. And so whether you want them to or not, your kids are looking at you as their main spiritual influence. And our greatest goal as parents is to raise up our kids so that they would know the person of Jesus Christ and that they would decide to trust him and walk with him. Parents, if you think that there is something that is greater or that you are called to do more, then instill that. There just is not. And so parents, you know, we have to do a reality check. We've got to take a look in the mirror. Are you worth following? Are you authentically living out your faith? Because your kids are looking at you. We have to decide right now if what God says, if we think that it is the most important thing on this planet. There's a passage of scripture that I want to look at together, and it's from the book of Deuteronomy. And this is a passage where Moses is speaking, and he's summing up how the Israelite family should live their lives. And he says his commandment, it's called the greatest commandment. It was written thousands of years before Christ. He quotes it later. But Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then Moses goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your, say that word with me, hearts. To be on your hearts. He's saying, first people and first parents, this has got to be so ingrained in you. It's got to be on your heart. It has to be a part of you. It has to matter to you. It has to be important to you first. And then once it is, he goes on and he says, impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. He was essentially saying, hey, if you want this faith thing to actually stick, if you want it to actually mean something, if you're going to really impress these truths in the hearts of your kids, then first things first, you've got to be 100% on board with your faith. You cannot lead what you do not live. And then you've got to be intentional about making it a part of your everyday rhythm. He says you've got to create an everyday faith. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you're eating dinner, and when you walk along the road. For us, that's when we're in the car, on our way to soccer, on our way to the dance practice. Talk about it when you tuck your kids into bed at night, and then when they wake up. As families, we have got to create a rhythm. As we go from day to day, we establish and we shape a rhythm that in turn, it shapes our kids. And so things that become a part of the daily rhythm are the things that our families will believe are the most important. Rhythm silently, but very significantly, communicates value. And for most of us, a lot of the times, the questions that we ask our kids and the time that we put to our kids, it revolves around their behaviors and their performances, right? It's about tests and grades and goals and scores and times. But if you want to instill an everyday faith in your child's life, then you have to incorporate faith in the daily rhythm. This doesn't mean you have to do some formal devotional every night, 6 p.m. For some of you, that may work, but for most of us, me included, it's not going to cut it. But what it does mean is that talking about Christ and your relationship with Christ and your kids' relationship with Christ, it's got to be a part of the everyday stuff. It's got to be the norm. And as parents, we've got to be constantly seeing the bigger picture. We've got to constantly be looking for and creating opportunities where we go, you know what? This is when, this is a moment where I can talk to my kids about their faith. When faith is something that only happens in church on Sunday mornings, it doesn't integrate into daily life and it's going to fade. Your kids are going to miss it. This is a partnership, right? We're doing our part, and parents, we need you to do your part too. So what are you doing with your kids? Do you spend time talking about your relationship and their relationship with Christ? Are you spending time being intentional about making their faith something that just seeps into every area of their life? Do they know a God that goes to school with them, that's at the lunch table with them, that's at soccer practice, that's on their first date? There's a book called Sticky Faith. And in this book, the author, she's done years of research on what the characteristics are that cause faith to stick in a kid's life. And the first one is that the parent's the main spiritual influence. But then a close second to that is having parents who actually lived out their faith. Not just said it, not just talked about it, not just instructed it, but actually lived it out through their actions. Who loved and who forgave and who chose honesty, who prayed in front of their kids, who served in front of their kids, who gave in front of their kids. Kids who had parents who did this had stickier faith. Parents, our kids cannot know what we don't tell them, but they also can't do what we don't show them. Your kids need this. So are you creating a rhythm where this is happening? Because if it's not a part of your rhythm, then it's not a part of your reality. There are some things that conceptually may be very important to us as parents, but if we never include them in our family's rhythms, then our kids will perceive them as having very little to none as far as value. And so our church is all about partnering with parents and families. We want to help you guys create a rhythm. We're going to give you a piece. This is one tool out of a lot of tools that we want to equip you with, but it's called the parent cue. And the parent cue, it helps cue you or prompt you with just the right amount of information so at just the right time you can have a meaningful discussion with your child. Parents, we know you don't need more information, right? You're on information overload. But we get that you need the right information. And this is what this tool does. So the parent cue will say, hey, at dinner time, why don't you discuss this? Or when you're tucking your kids in at bed, remind them of this truth. Or when they're getting ready for school and about to get on the bus, say this. You can get this through our Facebook page, our church website. There's an app. It's $2. It's going to be the best $2 you spend. It's full of resources. It's called Parent Cue. And we also give your kids a paper that has this at the beginning of the month. There's also an amazing blog with resources and parents and resources and tools. It has weekly podcasts. I promise it will make you a better parent. Just Google Parent Cue blog and you'll find it. Here's a quick example of what this looks like. Instead of getting in the car after church, right, and the old age question, so what'd you learn at church today, Scarlett? If you're cued, if you're prompted, it's kind of like you have one up, okay? So instead of that, it looks like, hey, Scarlett, I know that today you learned about being a good friend. What does God have to say about that? See the difference? We want to partner and help make these more intentional and more effective. Parents, don't we want to raise up a generation of kids who are fired up about the gospel and about the love of Christ? Sometimes I look around, just watch the news, right? And I see how dark and how broken and how evil and how much hatred is filled in our world. And then I look at my two precious little girls and I think, I get scared. I get anxious about sending them out into this. And I think that sometimes we need to flip it. And we need to say, because this world is so dark, because this world is so evil, because this world is so broken, then I am going to instill in my kids an everyday faith that is anchored to the person of Jesus Christ so they can go out and fulfill a greater mission and be little lights in a dark world. That's what can happen when we partner together. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a house where my parents made the decision to partner with the local church and give me what I needed most. You know, you get older, I'm not that old, but you get a little older, and you look back at what your parents did, and you can see a lot of the good they did. My parents weren't perfect, but they did a lot of good. I was involved in sports and a bunch of activities growing up, and I went off to college at IU, and my parents, they supported all of that. They paid for all of that. They're probably still paying for all of that. And I'm really thankful for that. But none of that compares to how thankful I am that they gave me what I needed the most. If they were in this room today, I would thank them for creating a rhythm in our house where I knew a God that cared about every little detail of my life. I would thank them for helping my faith and my relationship with Christ to be very real and authentic. I would thank them for taking it very, very serious to partner with the local church to get me an unbelievable large group experiences where I learned about God, and then for plugging me in to an amazing biblical community, for giving me a place to belong that I now know I cannot live without. I would thank them for putting people in my life who were saying the exact same thing that they were saying, but because it wasn't coming from them, I would actually listen. I would thank them for truly never defining me by a goal or a toe touch or a test or a grade or a time, but for being concerned about making sure that I understood grace and that I had a relationship with Christ. You really define need when you go through hard times. You really find out if you got what you need when you're in trouble. And I've had times in my life that were just stinking hard, where I felt like God was giving me way, way more than I could handle. And I start looking around, right, for the solutions and for answers. And I quickly realize that what I need, I already have. And it's because of the way that my parents partnered with the church and what they did with these hours. Parents, are we giving our kids what they need the most? What are we doing with these hours? Because we don't get a whole lot of them. Are we making the most of the time that we have? Because for your kids to truly get what they need the most, that relationship with Jesus Christ, eternity forever, your kids have to become our kids. We want to partner together to give our kids more than just experiences and more than just stuff. When trouble comes in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and parents, your kids call you, what will they have anchoring them? I pray and I hope that it is an unshakable, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And so our church, let's come together. Let's come together to give our kids what they need the absolute most. There's nothing more significant we can do with our time, and there's nothing that our kids need more. Anyone can play a role in this. If you go, I don't know if I can, go be a small group leader. Go get beside a child and give them a place to belong. Go speak truth and wisdom into their lives. Partner with the parents in that way. The music team is going to come do a song. And during this song, I want everyone to think and reflect on how we're doing at this. Parents, how are you doing with these hours? Are we giving our kids what they need the absolute most? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for our church. Thank you so much that we care about the next generation, that we care about kids and students. God, thank you first for caring about kids. That you said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. God, I pray that you would stir up in us, you would stir in our church and in our parents, in our families. You would stir us to realize the unbelievable influence that we have to lead them to you. God, thank you for your son and the unimaginable thing that you did by sending him to the cross so that he would die and take our sins. God, we love you and we're so thankful for him. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.